All right, as these finish up, if you want to grab your Bibles and turn over to Job chapter number 12. We're having a completely new septic system put in at our house. It's been April, May, June, July, 16th month process for us. They came out and inspected it. I think it was in March of last year. And they said it was bad. And I said, well, okay. And I said, well, what do we do? He says, well, it's going to cost this to fix it. I said, well, what else can we do? And he said, that's it. I said, well, is there an opportunity? Like, is there a grant or something? And he's like, oh, yeah, there's a grant. And so we've been in this process, and here we are, and now they have tons of dirt and all that kind of stuff coming in. But tomorrow, part of this whole process is, I don't know why, but the program that we're in, they have to do a full house inspection. And that just makes me nervous. They said, do you want a home inspector or the code enforcement officer? I said, I live in a home that was built in 1850. I don't want either of those people going through my house. So tomorrow at 10 o'clock, the house inspector is going to come through. And I said, okay. And so I don't know if that's a matter of prayer for you, but it certainly has me stressed out. I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be nothing and we're going to be great friends, but Job chapter number 12, isn't it great when the real life just jumps off the page at you? Hudson made a decision, I think, I don't think I'm out of line by saying this, but made a decision at camp to read a number of pages and try and be more faithful with his Bible reading. And in doing so, it led him to the book of Job. In doing so, it has led us to have some conversations. Dad, what does this mean? And this passage comes out of where Hudson had been reading, and he asked some questions, and it got me thinking about it a little bit. So here we are tonight, Job chapter number 12. Am I off? How's that? Can you hear me okay? All right, did it get turned off? No? Okay. All right. We'll turn it up. I liked how loud it was, but I don't like the ring. Is it a little ring? All right. Turn it down a little bit. Okay. Too far. No, I'm just kidding. That's great. All right. Job chapter number 12, verse 12. With the ancient is wisdom, and in the length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, verse 15 is going to be our text tonight. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you that we can open up the Word of God and know that you have a message for us within these pages. God, thank you for the prayer requests that we could lift up to you. Lord, thank you for the answers. Lord, my heart is rejoicing to hear that good report about Mordecai. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for just having your hand in that, of what it could be, and thankful for what it is. Lord, I pray that you'd help us with this passage now. And Lord, help us to see ourselves in it and maybe identify our own life in it. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, that verse didn't jump off the page, as you might have said. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. You know, Job's response to his friends here is, they're like, hey, what'd you do wrong? Why is all this going on? Why are the bad things happening in your life? You must be out of sorts with the Lord. And Job's response is, no, sometimes in life, the waters just dry up, and God's in charge of that. And sometimes he makes them overflow and just overwhelming. And hey, if that's not the description of life, I don't know what is. Sometimes you're going through life, and sometimes it just feels like you are in the midst of a desert, and then there's other times it just feels like everything's just going overwhelmingly good. And you say, why is that? Because that's what God does. And in the best ways I can, why the dry times? Why the overwhelming, overflowing times? I had some thoughts, some ideas here. Just looked at some other scriptures. But why, God, why? This is a necessary thing, right? Water. We need water. Why would you withhold something so necessary? Tonight, right before church, it was about, 10 to 6 or so, and all of a sudden, my lights at the house started flickering, and then we lost power. I thought, what on earth? It was right then, right at that exact time, a giant dump truck is going through my front yard with stuff, and I thought they hit a line. So I go out, and I'm like, what? What did you guys do? I said, did you hit a line? He's like, no, we didn't touch anything. Neighbor comes across the road. She's like, did you hit a line? You know, I'm like, exactly, that's what I thought. But come to find out, 1,700 people were without power for about approximately 35 to 40 minutes. Why? I don't know. But it's terribly inconvenient at our house, much like just yours, but it's terribly inconvenient because our well is one run by electric. And without power, we don't have water. Say, what's the big deal? You try and live without water. It's a pain. God, why on earth would you? He withholdeth the waters. Why would God do that? Why would God allow the brook to dry up? 1 Kings chapter number 8 has an answer for us. Maybe an answer we might not like, but it is the word of God. 1 Kings chapter number 8, Solomon is talking to the nation of Israel. He's actually praying here, and he says these words, 1 Kings chapter number 8, we're going to look at two passages in Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse 34, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel. I understand we are not Israel, but I just want you to pay attention to what he does. And bring them again into land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, it says, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee. If they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk. And give rain upon the land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Solomon says, hey, when you're out of sorts with God, and all of a sudden you look around and everything's real dry, evaluate in your heart, is there sin? And if there's sin, turn your face back to God. He did it to bring you to Him, that He would walk with you and you with Him. That's what it says. So why are things dry in my life? Why would God withhold such a necessary thing? Maybe it's in correction. Maybe because there's sin in your life. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say most of the troubles in your life can be resolved by simply getting right with the Lord. The amount of difficulty that has come to my life by outside sources versus within my own decisions, it's not even close. Yes, there have been circumstances that I could not control that dried the brook up. But I'll say, the most times I can trace it back to, oh, I wandered from the Lord at this moment. And that's why things aren't going good right here. Because there's a consequence to choices. And it's a great principle. Again, when we look at the scriptures and Solomon says, hey, when you notice that the heavens are shut up, I think the best thing would be to recognize that you've sinned against God. Hey, when things aren't right with you and the Lord, and things just aren't going right in life, and you just feel like, hey, this God's just withholding the waters, if you will. Don't be looking around anywhere else. Maybe you need to look at your own heart. Is there sin in your life? Hey, God is not a vindictive God. But he does chastise us. And he does it because he loves us. Familiar verses, Proverbs 3:12 says this, for whom the Lord loveth, he what? Correcteth. God loves you, therefore, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put something in his life. I'm going to put something in her life. I'm going to dry some things up just to get them back over to me. That's what he does. And it's pretty effective. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I am just a miserable wreck. Nothing's going right in life. It's a disaster. It's a problem. Oh, wait a second. I've got sin in my life. I'm living a sinful, wicked life, and I'm away from the things of God. Don't be surprised. Waters will be withholden. Number one, why are waters withholden? Well, because there's sin in your life. But number two, I want you to see this. 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. You're familiar with this story, 1 Kings 17, story of Elijah. And Elijah in verse 1, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, Ahab, good king or bad king? Bad king. What was Ahab's wife's name? What was her name? Jezebel. Good lady or bad lady? One of the worst. How many of you know someone named Jezebel? No, that's what. Do you really? Oh. No one names their kid Jezebel. That's how bad she was. Anyways, okay. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, This is what Elijah's saying. Before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And he walks out. It's not going to rain for, well, till I say. Verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Hey, it's not going to rain, but I'm going to send you to a place where there's already some water for you. And he sends Elijah to a place, although the brook over here might have dried up, God provides for him. And you know what? He leads him to a spot, and then that brook dries up. And then you know what happens? In verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to, what is that next word? Sustain thee. Hey, maybe the waters have dried up just for an opportunity to God to provide straight from his own hand. Sure, you can build a little kingdom of yourself. You've got all these plan Bs, and we have all these contingency things, and if this happens, we can do this, and we can move it from here to there, and we are just living in good times. Well, God has a way of humbling us every now and then, and he withholds some things just to remind us that he's the one that provides for us. Why would he withhold waters? Number one, because of sin. Number two, to just show that he is the provider. Number three, in chapter 18 of this next thing, is the waters have been withheld. One of the greatest stories of our entire Bible. The story of Elijah against the prophets of Baal. And how does that go? Well, it goes great for Elijah, pretty bad for the prophets of Baal. As we look in verse 21, it says this, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Well, what are the opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. There was a division amongst the people. Is God who he says he is, or do we follow this false god Baal? And the people couldn't even answer. The Bible says, and the people answered him not. They didn't know the answer. God withholds the waters, brings about a prophet, and God proves himself that God is the real deal. In verse 39, how does it go? When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. God, why would you be withholding waters in my life? Why is it so tough? Maybe because there's sin. Maybe because you've become way too dependent on you and he wants to be your provider. Number three, maybe it's just to prove in your heart again that God is the real deal. In Job chapter number 12, that wasn't the only principle. It said there, in Job chapter number 12 and verse 15, not only does he withhold the waters, but he also sendeth them out and they overturn the earth. Sometimes there's just so much that it's almost overwhelming. A time that we see that is in the book of Genesis in chapter 6. The Bible introduces us to a character. His name is Noah. Aaron, have you ever heard of Noah? Noah built what? An ark, an enormous boat. Victor, did you ever see an ark? Yeah, okay, good. It's enormous. And in Genesis chapter number 7, go there, Genesis 7. I want you to see this phrasing, and then we'll go to one more passage, and then we'll be done. Oh, man, it was bad last night preaching. I asked Pastor Cronin, I said, how long do I have? He said, 30 minutes, but if you go about 45, it's okay. I said, all right. Vic, how long did I go? It was too long. I had to apologize, all that. But I just felt like the Lord just moved in, I felt like. And it just was good. And, man, the kids were coming. And praise the Lord. But I butchered the clock. I see what time it is. It's 8:20, but there's no school tomorrow, so that's okay. All right, we're almost done. And I don't even have power at the house, so, you know, I'm here for a while. No, our power came back on. We're good. Genesis chapter number 7. Pay attention to this wording. In the 600th year of Noah's life, that's really old. I mean, 83 is up there, but 600. 600th year of Noah's life. In the second month, on the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. And the Bible says this, and the windows of heaven were opened. What then next transpires is a whole lot of rain. Rain tall enough to cover the highest mountain. That's a lot of water. It rains for 40 days and 40 nights, but unlike anything we have ever seen. The Bible says something almost supernatural happens, that the windows of heaven were opened. That phrase shows up again, and again, the thought that we're looking at here tonight, God, why would you withhold waters, but why would you send water so flowing that it overturneth the earth? Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3, and we'll be done. Malachi chapter number 3, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may, in Malachi 3:10. Malachi is the last book of your New Testament. Next book on the page there is the book of Matthew. Hopefully you found it by now, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. We're just going to read one verse, so if you haven't, you could just listen along. It says this, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And God says this, and prove me. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, I want you to tithe. I want you to bring it into my house. So it continues through the New Testament. We see that in 1 Corinthians. Paul encourages them to be a cheerful giver on the first day of the week doing that. And God says, prove me. Say, what do I have to prove you about? What is there to prove? Look at what he says. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hey, there are times in life, I'm telling you, where things sometimes just feel like they dry up. Maybe it's because of bad decisions that you made, sinful decisions. Maybe it's because God just wants to be your provider for a little while. Maybe it's to prove to you that God is who he says he is. But on the other end, sometimes he overflows us with blessings that there we are trying to catch the windows of heaven as it pours out in our life and say, why would he do that? Just so we can prove him and trust him. God is so good to us. And God says, if you just would do what I say, he compares it to, he uses the same wording as if the waters, when he flooded the earth, I'm just going to overturn you with all this water. Man, that's where we want to live. That sounds like a good place. I want to encourage you here tonight. Trust the Lord in every matter. Not just giving, but everything. Prove God. When God says, hey, this is what, do this and I'll bless you. Well, I don't know. No, have some faith. Trust him. He says, I've got blessings waiting for you that are the equivalent of when I flooded the earth. There's going to be so much goodness that it's going to just overflow you. There's not going to be enough room enough to receive it. I'm not trying to preach some prosperity gospel where, you do this and God's going to do. But that's a principle here. There's something to this by you just trusting the Lord. And God says, I got enough water. I'm going to make that bank overflow. If I could encourage you here tonight, behold, there are times when God withholdeth the waters. Those are tough times. But he also sendeth them out. And it's not by chance. There's maybe some things we could do to prompt that blessing. Hey, you do right by God. I've proven it in my own life over and over and over again. You do right by the Lord. He blesses in ways. I'm telling you, even just that septic system. Say, what's the big deal? We're getting a $30,000 septic system put in. Say, what did it cost you? Nothing. I just have to live there for 5 years. But I do have to have the house inspector come through. So I don't know. We might be doing some electrical soon. I don't know. Plumbing or whatever, painting, who knows? I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm just trusting the Lord. I do right. You just do right by God. And God says, I can make the waters overrun. I can make them overflow to a way where you will not have enough room to store all the blessings I have for you. Man, I'm in. That's where I want to live. Let's all stand. Appreciate you being here tonight. I know we went a little bit late, but it was the movie. It was the movie or the video. 5 minutes threw us off. Again, pray for our young people. They're about to start their second message tonight pretty soon, depending on how long the first preacher went. And then they're going to do it all again tomorrow. And you pray for our teenagers Sunday night. Maybe take some testimonies from our juniors who also went away to camp last week, and looking forward to hear what God did in their heart, and then maybe from some of our teenagers also. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Brother Beardsley, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight?